Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for SportsNet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Malou, speaking to you after finally a stress-free game by the Toronto Raptors, winning by a score of 102-90 over the Washington Wizards, who are sliding and coming back down to earth after their unsustainable hot start. And wow, they looked awful tonight. The Raptors led by double digits pretty much like the entire game, almost. Washington could not get their offense going all night. The Raptors' defense was very strong. The Wizards, the bulk of their scoring was free throws. They got 29 free throws, and that was 22 of their 90 points. But the Raptors were really strong defensively, gave them nothing at the rim. The Wizards didn't want to take threes for some strange reason. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, you got to jack them up, but at the same time, they were turning down a lot of threes. KCP was looking for the three, and Bertans, and Bertans was 0-for-6. That's his only job, is to hit threes, and he did nothing tonight, all night. Utah did a great job covering him, but the Wizards just didn't want to take any threes, and then every move they made was towards the paint, and the Raptors, you know, with Pascal, with Precious, Scotty in the middle, they were just able to show multiple bodies. They were really smart with how they showed help, played a little bit of zone at times, but for the most part, were just really good at bringing help to the basket on time. And the Wizards just had nothing for it. I mean, they had 12 points in the first quarter. The Raptors were up, you know, close to, or 19 points by halftime. And you would think the Wizards would make some kind of a push in the second half. Realistically, I think their defense got a little bit better. It wasn't like it was never like their defense was so locked in that it was like turning the Raptors over and they were getting runs and stuff like that. But their defense was better in the second half. The Raptors only scored 39 points in the second half. Ball movement was a little bit bad in terms of just a lot of ISO ball. But, I mean, at no point did the Wizards even make a fake comeback. Like, the closest I thought they got it down to was about 12 in, you know, the third quarter where they won 26-21. But, you know, the Raptors just I would say their defense was really strong, and it was, but really it was just Washington, like, they just couldn't execute offensively. Like, they just had nothing going on for them. So even if the Raptors were in a bit of a scoring drought, they weren't really eating into the lead. And then when they got it down to 12, Scotty Barnes hits like two jumpers in a row, including a post-up fadeaway jumper over Bradley Beal, which is nice. Obviously, Beal is much smaller. To be honest, Beal defensively in this game just looked terrible. He looked checked out. We've seen Beal a lot more aggressive than this. 12 shots for Beal. And it's not like the Raptors were, like, double-teaming him that hard. We've seen games where the Raptors, you know, really, really try to force the ball away from Beal. But, yeah, Beal just wasn't very effective. To be honest, it's not been a good season for Bradley. And, yeah, I mean, outside of KCP shooting 8 of 9 for 26 points, that's unbelievable. Really good shooting night for KCP, but the Raptors were just able to hold them off. And so it was a very stress-free win. I think there's a lot to like about this game. The Raptors bench was actually very good once again. This is like two games in a row now. That's been nice to see. The defense has been a lot better, obviously, for the stretch there where the Raptors were really losing all the time. They were the worst defense in the league. And now you're seeing the defense come together. It's much more solid. It's much more compact. You're showing multiple bodies. They're not leaving as many shooters open, although today I thought the Wizards just straight up decided not to take threes. I'm not sure what happened there, but just a really solid win at home. And this is what the kind of result that the Raptors are capable of, a really mature, a really like veteran style of effort. You know, just execution was solid, and you can win a lot of games doing this. And the Raptors hopefully will start to make up some of those games. They have this long homestand here. They have some inferior opponents coming in. Obviously OKC coming up on Wednesday. You know, there's a lot of time off in between to sort of get right. And, yeah, hopefully that happens because, you know, I do feel like they're playing a lot better of late. Not only are they defending much better, but they're also just executing much better. I think offensively, even though they only scored 102 points, I thought the Raptors got the ball into effective spots. They were playing a lot through the post. Precious, Pascal, Scotty, all these guys were down there. Chris Boucher did a really good job of finding little opportunities to cut behind the defense along the baseline. He played on the roll a little bit. You know, we've seen him pop quite a bit this season, not too much success, but he was rolling to the rim and getting downhill. I mean, even Utah was driving downhill and, you know, attacking closeouts and finishing through contact at the rim. Like, it was just a really nice effort for the Raptors who, you know, let's face it, they're better than what they showed during that losing stretch. And finally, with some bodies coming back, we're starting to see what they're capable of. And, you know, look, I think Washington was really, really bad today. They probably would have lost to most teams in the league based on the way they're playing. But still, the Raptors came out, executed at home, and now we can have a stress-free show. And so I'm looking forward to hearing people call in. As always, obviously, after wins, we love to, you know, we love to hear from the callers. So you can call us at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Once again, that's 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Or you can text us if you, you know, want to do that instead. You can text us at 590-590 with your name and your location. So, I mean, at the start of this game, I thought the Raptors just had a really good idea, which is that you go to Pascal Siakam, and that's because Pascal has had multiple 40-point nights against Washington. I think both his career highs at 44 points. He's done that twice against Washington in different seasons. Clearly, the Wizards don't have like the defensive personnel to handle Pascal. Now, of course, their team has changed a lot this year, but you know, Pascal in the post, it just seemed like he can get whatever he wanted. Of course, at first, when he started the game, it was a lot of a mid-range game. He had a pull, he had a deep three, like 3 or 4 feet behind the line. You know, he just really had that mid-range game going. And so, you know, the Wizards really couldn't handle him. But part of that is also just they're usually guarding him with shorter players. Like, there were so many times where he was getting, you know, the ball and attacking KCP or attacking Spencer Dinwiddie or attacking, like, you know, one of the random guards off the bench. Which, by the way, the Wizards have some very random players. when they emptied their bench, I was really like, I need to look up Basketball Reference more often and be more studied on my opponent, because I did not recognize a lot of those names. But yeah, I mean, you know, Pascal just had it going. I believe he had 22 at halftime, and he finished the game with 31. And you know what? I thought it was just a really mature approach from Pascal, in the sense that he was just relentless in attacking the paint. He knew exactly the spots he wanted to get to. He owned the spots that he wanted to get to. And this is the first game since he's come back from injury, and it's been at least 10, where I felt like Pascal owned it as, like, I came back as the guy. I'm the guy. I'm the number one option here. As Alex would say, I'm the lethal weapon. All right, check out Friday's show for that. You have to listen to that. But Pascal was like, I am the one who has the mismatch here, so give me the ball. Yeah, I thought Fred did a really good job of just keeping the offense organized, giving the ball to Pascal, letting him work. The Raptors did a good job spacing the floor around him. That's also key, by the way, for Pascal, is that, like, you know what, if teams are going to send help towards him and stuff like that, then of course he's not going to be able to beat a double team that consistently. But some teams are really conservative. Like, the Wizards are not a help conscious team. They're a very basic, let's play the pick and roll 2-on-2, let's drop the big back, let's try to chase over the top to prevent the three-pointers. Let's keep our, you know, guys in the corners, on the wings. Like, they're not really going to help too much. They're going to stay on their man, try to limit three-point shots. It's a smart defense, right? The Bucks, for example, play that style of defense. However, that only works if you have one-on-one defenders that can handle the mismatches. And clearly, Pascal was able to roast whoever they're putting on him. Even Kuzma. I mean, we've seen Pascal kill Kuzma like that. Like, we saw Pascal go into L.A. with, you know, when Kuzma with the Lakers. And Pascal, that was one of his huge breakout games. That was the game where the Raptors won on the road against the Lakers back in 2019. So, you know, he clearly had the advantage. And, yeah, it was just great to see him to operate like that. The confidence was there. I thought the swag was there. You saw a variety of moves from Pascal. And I think the other part is just he was able to slow the game down in terms of how often he got to the free throw line. A lot of these smaller guys, KCP, for example, that's happened multiple times with KCP, where Pascal would be in the post and KCP would, like, bump and try his very best to, like, push him out and just, like, you know, prevent him from spinning. And he was trying to play very physical because obviously he's smaller. And for once, Pascal actually got the whistle in his favor. And it's partially because Pascal had it going. Pascal was getting downhill. Without the fouling, he would have scored. So I liked his initiative, but yeah, I think that part was really solid for him. Pascal with 12 free throw attempts tonight. He was 10 of 12 from the free throw line. That is the most free throws shot by a Raptor this season. And yeah, you know, I think that did a really good job in terms of just limiting the Wizards in the fast break. The Wizards only had 4 fast break points all night, which is kind of incredible when you think about it. Like, in a modern NBA game, you just generally don't expect a team to only score 4 points at the whole night on the fast break. But you know, I think Pascal slowed the game down with his ability to play in the paint. But to be honest, the Raptors just took good shots in general. And the Wizards also just looked kind of disinterested. I'm not going to lie to you. That's taking nothing away from the Raptors. But just, I can't say enough about how bad the Wizards played tonight. You know, and I think the other thing with Pascal, too, as I mentioned earlier, is just the spacing around him. The spacing is a lot better. And even when it's not good, Pascal did a really good job of redirecting. Like, for example, one play, Pascal was posted up in the second half, and Precious was the guy who was on the wing, on the same side of the floor with him. And Pascal, like, weighed them. Like, he literally, you could see him in the post. He's dribbling with one hand, and he's telling him to get, you know, switch. Like, get away from the play. Gary came over instead, and of course that's how you improve spacing, because most likely the person that's going to help out, depending on where Pascal is going to try to drive, if he drives middle, obviously the help is going to come from the paint, but if he tries to attack in that elbow area, the help is most likely going to come from the wing. And if the person on the wing is Precious and he's not a threat to shoot, then there's more of a chance for the Raptors to get stopped. There's more of a chance for you know, a deflection or whatever, and you know, and maybe a double team comes and it actually works. But in this case, getting Gary over, now that's a shooter. He's going to keep the help defender honest. And it, honestly, if they do help sometimes, Pascal is obviously a really good passer in terms of finding the kickout shooter. So I think on all levels, Pascal played a really, really good game. This is my favorite game from Pascal since he's returned. And, I mean, you know, this is what Pascal does against the Wizards. He just roasts them. Like, this is really his team. There's obviously every single player has, like, specific teams that they love to play. And I'm sure Pascal's, you know, licking his lips every time he sees Washington on the calendar. I also thought that, though, the Raptors just played a really solid game around him. I thought Precious, once again, really, really good. You know, the Wizards have been getting pretty strong production from their center position, although you wouldn't know it from this game. Montrezl Harrell has been excellent for them. Daniel Gafford is a decent shot blocker. But I thought Precious outplayed both of those guys tonight. Precious, 10 points in 31 minutes, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. And it's just the Raptors have been really solid locking down the paint. Like the other game against the Bucks, you know, the Raptors held them to like 12 of 31 shooting from within 5 feet. Like, that's really impressive. Obviously no Giannis, but still the Bucks have guys that can really get downhill. Jrue Holiday, for example, you know, other guys that were big, Bobby Portis, like, you know, honestly holding any NBA team to 12 of 31 shooting within 5 feet is impressive, especially the fact that you don't have a 7-footer. Well, once again, the Raptors were really able to lock down the paint. And, you know, I think Precious has been a key part of that. I think his defense, in terms of just his physicality around the basket, has proven to be a true deterrent. I know people are, like, always going to point out a couple of things with Precious because he isn't as, like, polished. He's definitely not the most polished player you've ever seen, you know? Like, he's clearly going to be a guy who some of his mistakes are pretty loud or whatever, but I thought Precious tonight did a really good job, was really, really, you know, responsible in terms of his help at the basket. Once again, you know, the Wizards, they do have some downhill guards, like Dinwiddie's a downhill guard. Beal, if he wants to be, can be a downhill guard. And when those guys, like, pull extra defenders with them, the threat is obviously the lob to Gafford or to Harrell, or even not even just a lob, the putback on the offensive rebound. And I thought the Raptors did a really good job of boxing out on the defensive glass. You know, you look at 14 rebounds for Precious, 6 for Pascal, 6 for Scotty. The Wizards only had 6 total offensive rebounds all game, so the Raptors were really solid on that front. And yeah, sometimes, you know, like you the details are not really sometimes, most games, the details are the most important. I mean, like, you can always have great games where guys shoot a great percentage or whatnot, but really what is going to carry you and what's going to sustain you if you want to be a good team, if you want to pull off a win streak, which the Raptors have won 2 in a row. So I guess that's a streak. It's like a smidge. It's like a win smidge. But, yeah, if you want to do that, your defense needs to be there. And I thought last game against Milwaukee, holding them on 100 points, tonight holding Washington 90 points, really, really strong. And I think, obviously, in terms of the defense against Washington, the number one thing is you got to hold Bradley Beal to a low number. And Bradley with 14 points tonight in 35 minutes. I thought Scotty, who was the main assignment on Bradley Beal, did a really good job denying him the ball, staying with him off ball, because that's really where Beal's really dangerous, is the fact that he's such a great off ball player. He's a violent cutter, and I don't really know how to describe the other than he just, like, is able to stop on a dime and shift and explode and pivot and all that stuff. He's really, really good operating off the ball. And this is a guy who tremendous, like, you know, last year, for example, was tremendous in terms of the scoring, was like a few points behind Steph Curry for the scoring race. Scotty did a really good job holding Beal you know, when there's a lot of screening or back screens and stuff like that, he's stayed with them. Thrapus also did a good job communicating switches. And generally speaking, they locked everybody down. Like, the Wizards had two guys who scored double digits. Beal, who you expect to score 30, and then KCP had the game of his life in terms of this efficiency. I don't think he'll never have an efficient game like this before. Or in the future, with 26 points on 9 shots. Like, that's amazing. But other than that, the Raptors were really, really honed in defensively. And that was really enjoyable to watch. I thought Scottie was really in his assignment. Gary coming back has been really solid defensively, although he has yet to find his shot. Only 8 shots attempted for Gary tonight in 30 minutes, 2 of 5. He hit 2 threes at the start, but just started missing. Just wasn't really as involved offensively as we've seen him in the past. Even Freddie, I thought, look, Freddie finally got a night where he got to rest a little bit. I mean, first up, Fred VanVleet playing 33 minutes. It's like Kawhi Leonard taking 3 games off for load management at this rate. Like, because Fred has obviously had to carry such a heavy load. And Fred tonight had a really low lift type of game. Like, you know, he had the play of the night, I thought, where he crossed up Daniel Gafford twice at the 3-point line, drove it inside, got the bump, and he lost the ball. Should have been a foul right there. And honestly, for Gafford, the referees let him down, not calling a foul on him, because then Fred got the ball back, put it like around his waist, and then launched a mid-range jumper at his face. It was incredible. I don't think the Yabba Dabba Doo hit as hard as it did after that move by Fred. That was a really nice play. And I thought Fred just set the tone at the start, made a couple of big jumpers. But other than that, it was just kind of like sitting back and letting other guys have it, because Fred has done his job carrying this team in many, many games this season. Finally, this is a night where other guys were really having him going. Pascal could be the number one option tonight. Fred was really content to just – I mean, Fred wasn't even like the number two option really for him. He was chilling. And other guys were contributing, and that was great. But also the fact that Fred only played 33 minutes means that the bench was really good, because the Raptors bench has also been really bad in previous games. And I thought the Raptors got some very consistent minutes off the bench. Boucher with 18, Utah with 17, Delano with 15, Svi with 16. Like, that is a lot more in terms of just like normal and natural in terms of who's going to come off the bench. Those four guys make a lot of sense for me. And I liked a couple of the lineups the Raptors were using out there tonight. There was a lineup that they started the fourth quarter with that was Scottie as the main option, Delano as the point guard, and then Chris, Svi, and Utah. And I think the reason I like that lineup is just like I like the defensive prowess of that group. You know, first off, like the shortest guy is Svi, who's like 6'6", right? So everybody is between 6'6" and 6'9". You have a shot blocking presence in Chris Boucher in the middle. You have Utah, who is hugely responsible, and I thought tonight he did such a good job of holding Bertans really, really quiet. It has some really like inch perfect contests. In terms of just Bertans is obviously a really tall shooter. He's really able to run around. He's going to shoot from deep. Like, he's just a gunner, pure gunner. And Utah stayed with him at all times, gave him no airspace to shoot. And there's one closeout he had in the corner where Bertans was shooting the ball, and Utah was like within like centimeters of his body with the hand straight up, but not fouling, you know, everything. Perfect defensive game from Utah. You got Utah, you know, guarding their main bench scoring threat. I thought Boucher, you know, along with some help, did a really good job of keeping Harrell quiet. Although Harrell, to be honest, is a guy who's going to be dependent on guard play, because, you know, he needs a pick and roll partner who's going to throw him a couple of lobs, you know, find him on the roll and stuff like that. Or at least even find him down low where he's in position where he can play a little bit of bully ball. The Wizards got no guard play at all, because, to be honest, it felt like they couldn't even dribble the ball up sometimes because Delano was on them. And it just felt like that lineup actually was natural. It kind of flowed. You know, offensively, it was a little dry, I would say. Like, they got a cut from Pascal, or they got a cut from Boucher, and they got a cut from Utah, and, you know, all this other stuff. But at least offensively, I like the look. And that's what I've been begging for with the bench, is just I understand that some of these guys aren't scorers naturally, right? That's okay. You know, realistic, that's okay. I'm not expecting these guys to come in and overnight and start pouring in like 20 points. I know there's no Lou Williams style guy on the bench, no Jamal Crawford, but these guys are defenders. And if they can come together as a group and find some chemistry there and really hone in on their defense, they can hold the lead just with defense alone. And they can play off those, you know, those stops, you know, get out in the fast break. And I thought the Raptors did a decent job of that with the second unit. And because of that, they actually allowed the starters to rest, because look, you know, not every game do you want to ride your starters 40 plus minutes. And, you know, tonight, Pascal with 36, you know, he was on a heater. Scotty with 37, you know, honestly, I wanted to see him play a lot. Obviously, he led the bench group at the start of the fourth quarter, so his minutes are a little higher. But Precious, 31, Fred, 33, Gary, 30. It felt like a very even game. It felt like more of a team game. Like, it wasn't just like the starter's going to be good and then the bench is only come in for 3 minutes. None of that stuff today. I thought it was really, really solid. I really liked Delano operating at the top of the floor. He led the team in assists with six assists. And him just, like, keeping the dribble alive and either operating a couple of pick and rolls or doing a little dribble handoff kind of actions. But he just was really good at setting guys up in the middle of the floor, had some really nice passes. You know, Utah knocked down a corner three. He cut inside for two layups. You know, just a classic Utah game. 7 points plus 16, highest in the game. And that was great to see. And again, I just can't stress enough, like, how much the starters have needed this. Like, they needed this. They needed a game where the bench can just come in and give them something. And I'm not expecting it to happen every night, but at least half the time, I want the bench to come in and be really, really strong defensively, and they were tonight. So just a nice team win. I think a lot of people can be really proud of how they play tonight, which is, I think, the end goal here. I think, you know, even Chris, for example, like, I thought at the first I was going to be mad at Chris because, like, he first checked into the game, and I'm not even kidding you. The Wizards were, like, 6 points in the first quarter. Chris checks in with, like, 3 minutes left in the quarter. The Wizards were literally on 6 points. And right away, they scored three straight times at the rim. And I was thinking, okay, come on. This is not a game where you're going to come in and sort of spoil the effort there. I don't want to see that. But it wasn't that way. I think Chris was much more solid defensively from that point onward. Really just he got slapped with a couple of extra fouls, I thought, that weren't really fair to him. To be fair, I thought the referees were just calling the whistle just to keep the game manageable. You know, I don't think they want another, like, Memphis situation or Memphis versus OKC situation. Although I would love to see a repeat of the OKC situation when the Raptors play them on Wednesday. In any case, not going to happen, by the way. I think some of their Canadians will be a little bit more juiced to play here in Canada. But, yeah, like, I just think that Chris had a really solid game. Like, I was really happy with his work along the baseline. You know, the thing with Chris is, like, the three-point shot is just not going for him, right? Even though some of the free throws, he was 4-6 from the free throw line. There was one point where he was fouling a three, he missed two free throws. Like, maybe the shot isn't fully there for him right now. Maybe the confidence isn't fully there for him. But there's still ways for him to impact the game. He's such a big athletic player. He's very tall, he's lanky, he's able to cut inside, he's able to slip behind the defense. And just these small little gaps in terms of his aggression, going to the basket, catching the ball, getting fouled, making a play at the rim. That's the other part of his game that needs to be, you know, a consistent part of it. And I'm really happy to see Chris, you know, impact the game. 14.6 rebounds off the bench, an assist in 18 minutes. That's something he's capable of, and hopefully there's something he can build off of. Not every team is going to be as lethargic, let's say, as the Wizards here, but Chris obviously was very effective. And I think that's what happens too with the bench, is that, like, when you have Chris, like, consistently scoring for the bench, I think that's where you know, the starters can afford to just, like, get a breather, you know. And yeah, good game by Chris. Really happy for him, just because he's had a down season. And to be fair, I'm always very hard on Chris, so he was very good tonight. I just think this was a really solid win by the Raptors. Hopefully they can build off of this. They have some easier opponents coming up, and I do truly believe that they will. So before we go, we are going to get to a couple of the texts that came in. Shanda in Corner Brook. Okay, wow. Huge fan of the show. Without injuries, wouldn't we have at least 16 wins? We've been in every game except maybe two. How good will we be with our top eight, all back and healthy? Let's go. It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. I think some of these games here, I think the Raptors clearly were missing a couple of pieces. By the way, I think it's important to note that the Raptors aren't necessarily special in this case. Like, a lot of teams in the league are dealing with injuries, COVID, you know, absences. You know, it's hard to predict who's been in, who's been out this season. And the Raptors are actually kind of middle of the pack league-wise in terms of, like, man games missed. So it's not like the Raptors are hit, like, exceptionally hard relative to just the general global situation with the NBA. But at the same time, yeah, of course, a lot of these games, like, you know, you miss an OG. In that Memphis game, for example, the Raptors were really strong defensively at home, but they lost. Like, they could barely crack 90 points. Did they even get to 90 points? I think they might have finished in the 80s. Like, you obviously could use, you know, Gary or OG for a game like that, you know, and Yeah, I think obviously you can go through and go through the calendar and flip a couple of games. That being said, though, a lot of these teams are impacted with injuries. And, like, you know, for example, that Milwaukee game, not to take anything away from the Raptors, but if Giannis played, you know, a two-possession kind of win like that probably goes in Milwaukee's favor, you know. But still, I would love to see this team back and healthy. And I think, look, I think defensively, this is what they can be. And the more they get guys like Kem and OG back, which are the only two guys left who are still out, the more the Raptors will be, you know, coming away with stress-free games like this. Because if your defense is there, chances are you're going to win. Last one from Jay Rich in Guelph. Hoping these fans can show some appreciation to Pascal, who I often find myself defending. He's not perfect, but is a skilled player who can elevate the team's performance. Hashtag, I appreciate Pascal. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing where people get down on him all the time, or they, people are, he's for some reason polarizing. You know, he's coming back from injury, but I think what he brings to the Raptors is that element of post-play in the paint. He's able to create from that situation. He's able to pass. You know, the jumpers look pretty strong. The mid-range game has been there for him. But for the most part, it's just that, like, I think the fact that he can be a focal point of the offense, right? Now you have Pascal as one of those guys. Fred can be one of those guys. OG can be one of those guys. Scotty at times can really be one of those guys, really in the third quarter when he really decides to wake up. And that's going to bring a lot more balance to the offense. It's going to be a little bit harder to stop the Raptors that way. And I think as long as Pascal is able to take over when it's his turn to take over, I don't think there's any complaints. And obviously tonight was his turn and he was awesome. So in terms of your three stars, Pascal, obviously the first star, 31 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in 36 minutes, 10 of 21 shooting from the field, made his only three-point attempt of the night and was 10 of 12 from the free throw line, 36 minutes, excellent performance. Before the game, I literally turned to Alex and I said 40 for Pascal tonight. Maybe a little optimistic, but clearly he was on pace for it in the first half. Second star for me, I'm going to give that to Precious Achiuwa. 10 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 5 of 10 shooting from the field. I really like the process in which he attacked this game. You know, he had a two-handed dunk along the baseline off a nice drive out of the corner where he beat his man. I had a little putback, a little floater kind of thing, and, you know, roll to the rim. And it just... I just loved the way he played offensively. It was much more in his role. And then defensively, he's been very, very solid. I think, obviously, when you need him to switch on the perimeter, he can do that. He's mobile. But when you need him to be tough at the basket, he plays bigger than he is at the basket. He's 6'8", but he's really impactful down there. He's been really solid for the Raptors defensively, and I really appreciated that. So I'm going to give Precious the second star. And then third star, you can go a number of ways with this. You know, I thought Banton was a really good leader for the bench. I thought Yuta was a really, you know, useful substitute. You know, he even got extended minutes with the starters there in the fourth quarter when the Raptors were trying to close it out. I think Scotty deserves a chance here. But honestly, let's give it to Chris Boucher. Chris was really solid off the bench tonight. He was the bulk of the bench, scoring 14 points, 6 rebounds and assists, 18 minutes, 5 of 7 from the field. Let's give it to Chris. And then your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that has to go to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. During the game, I was more annoyed by Raul Neto, who was just kind of like a Brazilian TJ McConnell type. And so those guys will always kind of bug you because they're like pesky players. But realistically, KCP with 26 points and 8 of 9 shooting, 4 of 4 from 3, 6 of 6 on the free throw line. That's a near perfect game for KCP. And when else have you ever heard that happen? So it's just a really solid effort by the Raptors, really responsible win, and feeling really good about this one heading into the week. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Once again, you can find all episodes of the Raptors Reaction Podcast, as well as all episodes of the Raptors Show, wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for the Raptors Show with Will Liu, and you will find it there. And when you find it there, please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. That is the number one thing I want for Christmas and also my birthday, which is very close to Christmas, is for people to continue to rate, review, and subscribe. Keep us high in the charts. And if you can do that, we're all happy. And for me, myself, I will be back tomorrow on the air with Alex. And then I'll be back Wednesday to recap the Raptors' next game against OKC. Thanks for listening.